Now, we've been memorizing, or we should have been memorizing, we should be memorizing this portion of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 6. We started way back in verse number 10, and we'll go all the way down to about verse 18 or 19 before we go on to memorizing some other things. But I've also been speaking about this portion of Scripture, and we're talking now about the believer's armor. The armor that the believer is to wear as he and she are engaged in the spiritual conflict that we are fighting against the devil and against those principalities and powers and those other beings, spiritual beings that Paul makes mention of there in verse number 12. But tonight, our verse number 15 that we're going to look at. Look at verse number 15. Paul says here, "And your feet shod." Am I not on? Okay, let me get through that. Here we go. "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Now let me pray, and then we'll see what truths the Lord can speak to our hearts about here. Father, thank you that we can be in church tonight. Thank you that we can pray. And dear God, I pray that as, Lord, we look at this portion of Scripture, Lord, that you'd really grab a hold of our hearts in regard to the truths that are contained therein. Bless us tonight. Help us tonight. Encourage us tonight. Strengthen us tonight through thy word. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you understand this as Christians, we are called by God, who is the captain of our salvation, to be soldiers. You know that you're to be a Christian soldier. Remember the first verse that we memorized in regard to our, you know, theme for the new year, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 3. "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." So you and I are to be Christian soldiers. And specifically, as you come here to Ephesians chapter 6, you realize, or you should understand, that you and I are to be infantry soldiers or a foot soldier. Here in Ephesians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul is speaking about the armor of God that the Christian is to adorn himself with, herself with, and it's the armor of an infantry soldier. Now, you understand this, that one day, being a member of God's army, you're going to be in the cavalry. You're going to be in the cavalry. When the Lord Jesus Christ returns to this world to establish his kingdom, he comes back leading his army. Right? He's riding upon a white horse, and the Bible says in Revelation chapter 19, verse number 14, the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses. And so one day you are going to be in the Lord's cavalry. But right now you and I are to be in the Lord's infantry. And you should understand then how important it is for an infantryman or for a foot soldier to have his feet shod, and the word shod is just an old English word which means shod. All right, so you can see how important it is. You're going to be a foot soldier, then your feet have to be shod. They have to be shod. And so let's look at the lessons tonight and see the importance and the necessity of the words that we find here in verse number 15 of Ephesians chapter 6, "and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." All right, so I have to have my feet shod. I have to have my feet shod as a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. For what purpose? Why? First thing is this: for protection. You have to have your feet shod or shod for the purpose of protection. You don't want to be sidelined. You don't want to be removed from the battle. You don't want to be wounded because you are not properly protected and your feet are not properly protected and cared for. Realize, notice it talks about your feet shod or shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. There's protection for the believer. There's protection for the believer in the name of the Lord. Remember when, as an illustration, when David was going up against Goliath, All right, here you have just at very best a young man, maybe even just a teenager, all right, who's going up against a giant who stands more than or approximately almost 10 feet tall. And as he's not only a man that was 10 feet tall, just about 9'9", I believe it all works out to be something along those lines, but a man that was armored. He had armor on. And remember the words of David when he goes to battle against him in 1 Samuel chapter 17 in verse number 45. David said this, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield." He says, "But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." All right, when you read Ephesians chapter 6, we've already been told by the Apostle Paul that we're to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and we're to put on the whole armor of God that we might be able to stand against what? The wiles of the devil. All right, you know what? The devil's a strong man. And as strong as Goliath was and as powerful as Goliath was, the devil is stronger. And not only are you warring against the devil, but in verse number 12, the Apostle Paul tells us you're warring against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And so you have to realize, you know what? If you're going to be engaged in that type of spiritual conflict, you better be protected. You better be protected. Karen, when you pray for your mom, realize, hey, whatever it is she's going through, it's not just mental, okay? It's spiritual. And whatever it is that she's engaged in or that's afflicting her spiritually is afflicting her mentally. And so when you pray for her, don't just pray for her mental health. Pray that, you know, spiritually the Lord would help her. But what I'm wanting you to realize is you're going against powerful beings, all right? And you know what? As you go up against these powerful beings, you better realize you need protection. And there's protection in the name of the Lord. That's what David said. And remember what the Apostle Paul says in the book of Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, he tells us about the power that's found in the name of the Lord. In 2 verse 9, chapter 2 verse number 9 down to verse number 11, he says, "Wherefore God has also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." All right, you know this. Some of you've had the experience, and if you haven't had it, you're going to have it. You are going to get involved in situations in your life and circumstances in your life where you can't do it. You're going to realize God is going to let you come to the end of yourself in realizing your own weaknesses and realizing your own inabilities and realizing your own incapacities to be able to deal with whatever it is that you're going through. And you're going to need some help. And the help that you're going to need is going to be beyond you. It's going to be in the Lord. But as you realize you're warring against an enemy, you're going to realize that you need protection. You need your feet shod for protection. All right? What am I supposed to do as a Christian? I'm to walk, right? I'm to walk. I'm to have a Christian walk. Well, how can I walk if my feet are not protected? How can I walk against an enemy if my feet are not protected? All right, so you need your feet shod or shoed for the purpose of protection. And there's protection in the name of the Lord. Hey, there's protection in the Lord's blood. There's protection in the Lord's blood. Remember what the Bible says in the book of Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12 and verse number 11. Now, this is talking about tribulation saints, but remember what the Bible says here. And they overcame him. That's the devil. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. Can I give you an illustration? See, they overcame these tribulation believers. Overcame who? The devil. How'd they overcome him? By the blood. Now let me give you the illustration. The illustration is found in the Old Testament book of Exodus, chapter 12, if you want to go there. All right? In Exodus chapter 12, it's the night that God is going to bring the 10th plague upon the land of Egypt. And remember, the 10th plague is going to be the death of the firstborn. And what was Israel instructed to do? They were instructed to take a lamb and slay the lamb. And then they were instructed to take the blood of the lamb and put it on the doorposts and lintels of their house, correct? Okay, that lamb, that Passover lamb, is a type and a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. The lamb was slain, the blood was shed, you see? Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. So that Passover lamb pictured him. But notice what the Lord says here in Exodus chapter 12, in verse number 23. It says, "For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer." Notice the words that he uses here. Who will he not suffer? The destroyer to come into your houses and to smite you. You know who the destroyer is? The destroyer is the devil. You read Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 14, you know what you find out? That the devil had power over death until the Lord goes to the cross. All right, so the Lord's going through the streets of there in the cities, all right, in regard to the land of Egypt, and the Jews had the blood upon their houses, and you know what? That blood, as strong as the devil was, as powerful as he is, he had no power to go through the door of that house. There was, for everybody that was inside, there was what? Protection. Protection. You need your feet covered for protection. And there's protection in the name of the Lord. And there's protection in the Savior's blood. And there's protection, hey, listen, in the resurrection. In the resurrection. Remember what the Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 1 verse number 4, "And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead." Remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ to his disciples after he rose from the dead in Matthew 28 verse number 18? He said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." And so there's power in the Lord, in his name, in his blood, in his resurrection. And you need some protection from an enemy that wants to destroy you. You see? And as you're going through this world, you know, you read in the book of Ephesians, here you're reading about the warfare that you're to be involved in, but you find out as a Christian, you're supposed to have a Christian walk, and that devil's going to try to stop you, and those principalities and powers and those, you know, that's those spiritual wickedness in high places and all that, all those beings are going to try to war against you to prevent you from walking and from being and doing everything that God wants you to be, and they'll hurt you. They'll hurt you. Okay, let me ask you a question. You don't have to raise your hand, but I'm just saying. You ever gone through some stuff? And as you laid in your bed, or maybe you were someplace all by yourself, the tears coursed down your cheek, and you were hurt?
Yeah.
Everybody. No one here can say, no, I've never had that experience. We've all had that experience, right? Okay. Well, then you know what you need? Protection. You need protection. You are having a hard time being a Christian. You are having a hard time living a Christian life. You are having a hard time just, you know, believing God. You are just having a hard time walking. You need your feet shod. You need your feet shod for protection. For protection, all right? See, in the gospel, there's not only it's your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What you need to realize, there's not only salvation in the gospel. See, a lot of times we don't think right. We think, okay, the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you believe the gospel and you get saved, and we kind of say, well, that's it. That's not it. That's not all there is. It starts with salvation, but it goes on to everything in your Christian experience, to protection. There's protection in the gospel. You got to understand that. And you need your feet shod. All right, so you need your feet shod, first of all, for protection. All right, number two, you need your feet shod not only for protection, but here's another P for you, for position. For position. Are you there in Ephesians chapter 6? Look at the word stand. All right, look at verse number 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to what? Stand against the wiles of the devil. Look at verse number 13. Wherefore, take on you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Verse 14. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness. So you see here that three times in this portion of Scripture, we are instructed, we are told by the Apostle Paul that we are to what? Stand. Folks, get it. Everything starts with the gospel. Salvation. It doesn't end there. It starts there. And everything that you need is connected to the gospel. Okay, I'm supposed to walk as a Christian. The Lord gives me the power to do that. And sometimes as I'm engaged in the spiritual conflict that I'm engaged in, I'm supposed to do what? Stand. Just stand. And that means you're in a position where your feet are planted. You're not moving backward. You might not always be able to go forward too quickly. Or maybe you just have to stay stationary. But you don't go backward. See that thing? Back sliding. You're not supposed to do that. Remember what David said in Psalm 40, verse number 2. He brought me up out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and did what? Set my feet upon a rock. And did what? Established my goings. See? When you got saved, God gave you a position. I'm on a rock. I'm not on sinking or shifting sand. Now, the purpose of having your feet set is for this. Think about this now. I'm fighting, and in order to fight effectively, you know what I have to be? Balanced. balanced. You knock someone over, you can harm them, hurt them, kill them, right? And so your feet planted is for the purpose of balance. The gospel gives your life, talk to me, balance. The gospel gives your life balance. Because you know what you realize? Listen, life is not just temporal. It's not just living your life in regard to the things of this world. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ? He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his what? Righteousness. And all these things shall, temporal things shall be added unto you. So in order to really live life, you know what you have to have? Yes, things temporal. But you have to also have your heart on things that are eternal. So if you have it right with the things eternal and right with the things temporal, you're what? Balanced. So if a Christian is balanced because of things, he has his feet firmly planted, things eternal, things temporal, I'm living a balanced life, right? I'm not going to be moved. I'm not going to be moved. Then I'm going to make a statement right now, and the statement that I'm going to make is true, and you'll realize it. Every lost person, I don't care who they are, I don't care their social standing in life, I don't care their financial standing in life, every lost person lives an unbalanced life. Every lost person lives an unbalanced life. Why? They don't have any footing in regard to things eternal, right? Okay. So you know what the gospel gives me? Balance. Balance. I get up in the morning, you know what I need? You know what I do? I read my Bible. Take Victoria off to school, you know what we do before she goes? Read the Bible, have a word of prayer. For what? Hey, we got to do the stuff that's temporal. She has to go to school. We got to get, you know, do the things in life that have to be done. But we have to be what? Balanced. A balance. Sometimes a Christian's life gets out of balance. A lot of Christians, their life is out of balance. You know why their life is out of balance? They've gotten away from the gospel. Their life is not balanced because they've gotten away from the gospel. I know they're saved. But there's not the balance of things temporal and things eternal together so that their feet are what? Firmly fixed. And because they're unbalanced, what happens when you're not balanced? You fall. There's a song in your songbook, you're familiar with it. It was written by Fanny Crosby. The third stanza goes, near the cross, O Lamb of God, bring its scenes before me. Are you listening? Help me walk from day to day with its shadows o'er me. In the cross be my glory ever, till my ransomed soul shall find rest beyond the river. But you see, hey, you know what? You know what the gospel's going to do for me one day? It's going to get me to heaven. Amen. But until I get there, I'm to walk neath the shadows of the cross. I'm never to get away from it. Never get away from it. Because you know what it does? It keeps me balanced. The cross, the gospel keeps you balanced. You need to have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Why? For protection. Because of the enemies that you're warring against. But you have to have your feet shod with the preparation of gospel peace. For what? Position. You need to be balanced. All right. Third thing. For preparedness. Or in preparedness. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Preparation. Preparation, preparedness, right? You're supposed to be prepared. Prepared for what? When you're prepared, you're ready, are you not? You prepare for an examination. You prepare to take a test. You know, you prepare for stuff. You're prepared, you're ready, and here you're to be ready to go and to preach the gospel. A Christian's supposed to be ready. You know what a lot of Christians aren't? They're not ready. I gave you an illustration from Exodus chapter 12 in regard to, you know, power, how the devil couldn't go into those homes where the blood was shed and on the doorposts and on the lintels. But here's another verse. You don't have to turn there. Just listen. Exodus chapter 12. God was giving Israel instruction about the eating of the Passover supper. The night before they go out the next day, all right, out of the land of Egypt. They're to kill the lamb, shed its blood, and then they are to roast the lamb, and they are to make unleavened bread, and they're to eat the Passover supper that night, right? But listen to what verse number 11 says here in Exodus 12. And thus shall you eat it with your loins girded, your shoes your shoes on your feet and your staff in your hand. You shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. You know what God said? He didn't say, now listen, tonight you're going to eat it and you know what? Get up early tomorrow and, you know, put your shoes on and get your staff ready and, you know, gird up your loins. He says, no, you're going out in the morning. He says, have your shoes on your feet already. Have your staff in your hand already. You're going to be walking, okay? He says, be ready to go. Gird it up. Ready. Be prepared. You need your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You're to be ready to preach. Remember the words of the Apostle Paul? Paul's words found in before he went as he was writing to the saints at Rome in Romans chapter 1 again in verse 15. He says, so as much as is in me, he said, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Romans chapter 10, familiar verse. For whosoever, verse number 13, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But then Paul says in verse 14, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Verse 15 says, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them which preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Amen. You got to be prepared. Prepared for what? To preach. Your feet got to be ready. Ready to do what? Ready to go somewhere. Ready to go. To tell someone about the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1878, the Salvation Army was organized. Here's what the, you know what? You go around town, you see, you know, we used to have one here in the back of the church. We were helping them out. The metal bins, you could put clothes and stuff in there for, you know, help people out. That's nice. That's good. Nothing against that. But here's why the Salvation Army was organized. 1878, it was organized for this purpose: to carry the blood of Christ, to carry the blood of Christ and the fire of the Holy Ghost into every corner of the world. That was William Booth's objective, to carry the blood of Christ and the fire of the Holy Ghost to every corner of the world. Well, if you're going to do that, you better be ready. Let me give you, look at this verse. Will you look at it with your eyes? Deuteronomy chapter 29. Notice what the Lord said to the nation of Israel before they got into the land of promise. Got it? Deuteronomy chapter 29, look at verse number 5. He says, I've led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxen old upon you, and thy shoe is not waxen old upon thy feet. Ladies, you better thank God that you were not in that generation that came out of Egypt, because you'd have had one pair of shoes that lasted for 40 years. But your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The gospel is an old, old story. It's 2,000 years old. And yet, that old, old story is just as fresh and vibrant and eternal as when it first began to be preached. You, college and career and the teens, you gave me a gift. Thank you. Those shirts, you know, that they come, they come and they measure you for a shirt. And so the lady came to measure me, to find out my shirt size, and she measured me for a shirt, and she came into my office. Okay, I began to talk to her. She was Catholic, and I began to tell her about the Lord. And she sat in the seat there in my office, and as I talked to her, and as I told her she was a sinner, and showed her scripture, and that she deserved to go to hell, and that Christ is the Savior who died for her, shed his blood for her, and rose again for her. And you know what? She used to teach her for 30 years at Wright Tech. Okay? I looked up, and the tears were coming down her. I just tell her about Jesus, and the tears are coming down her face. And then I led her in prayer. She asked the Lord to save her.
Amen.
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 It's a 2,000-year-old story. But you know what? It still works in 2017. It still changes people in 2017. These shoes last for 2,000 years, not 40. You got to put those shoes on for preparedness. All right, let me quickly give you the last one. All right, last thing is, you need to put those shoes on for peace. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of what?
Peace.
Peace. You know what the gospel brings? Peace. You know what the gospel gives? Peace. First of all, it gives you peace with God. Romans 5, verse number 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In verse number 10 of Romans chapter 5, it says, when we were yet enemies. When we were enemies. And so we were an enemy, but then through the gospel, we don't just become even a friend, we become a son, a child of God. When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more, being reconciled, we'll be saved by his life. And so, first of all, the gospel gives you peace with God. And not only peace with God, but then here's something else it gives you. Peace within. Remember what the Bible says in Philippians 4, verse number 6 and 7. Be careful, full of care. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Isaiah 26, 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Hey, listen, you see, people come through the door and you see them in church and we don't really know a lot sometimes about, sometimes we get to know a little bit about some people, but someone can come through the door, you know what, they might have had a drug problem or an alcohol problem or a sin problem and the Lord helped them get victory over it. But people come, hey listen, everybody has problems. So when someone comes through the door, they're coming through the door with their problems. So, you know what we know? The Lord has the solution for whatever problem they are going through in life. Okay, everybody doesn't have a drug problem, alcohol problem, some kind, but everybody's got problems. They have family problems, financial problems. Hey, talk to Cindy Papyrus. She doesn't mind me saying this. I'm not embarrassing her. Till she came to know the Lord, she had mental problems. She's a pretty sane lady to me.
Amen.
She's pretty balanced if every time I ever talk to her. Okay. Who did that? Jesus. She didn't always have peace in her heart. She got peace in her heart now. Because it's the gospel of peace. You see, you get peace with God, you get peace within, and then here's something else. You get peace without. The gospel of peace comes from, you know, you can find, we don't have time to take a look at the verses, but you know who God, what is God is called here, or what God can be called in the scripture, he is called in scripture, he's the God of peace. He's the God of peace. He's the God of peace. He is the God of love. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 14, verse number 27, the night before he was crucified. Remember what he said to his apostles. He said, "Peace I leave you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And then in John chapter 13, you know these words. He said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." See, he's the God of peace. He's the God of love. And so he enables those who receive the gospel not only get peace with God, not only get peace within, but to live at peace one with another. You know, we could probably, I know we could do this. If we could get on a plane and go to Israel, there are Christian churches in Israel. And I guarantee you, we could go into a Christian church somewhere. And you know what we could find? We could find Jews. We could probably find Palestinians. Gentiles. And you know what? They love each other. See, that's why the world are never going to have, the world talks about peace, they sing about love, but they're never going to have peace and they're going to have love, because the only way you get peace and love is from the God of peace and the gospel of peace and the God of love and the gospel of love. You know, in my prayer time today, I asked God to fill my heart with love. To love him, to love you, to love my family. I even asked him to help me love my enemies. I even asked him to help me to love people that are unlovely. I don't want to run someone down with my car and kill them, stab them. You understand? I got something that helps me. That's why a lot of times folks come to, you know, every place is not like where we're from, where you got a new gal coming from Vietnam. But you know what, Rachel, you only been here a couple times. We love you, okay? Or you're from India, you're from the Philippines, or you're from Costa Rica, or you're from some other place, Colombia, you know, Peru, Germany, Switzerland, okay? Hey, but you see, Christians can love each other because, you know, we got the same Lord. We got the same Savior. And the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. And we can live together in peace. Amen. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Father, dismiss us tonight with your blessing. Thank you that we could be in church. Thank you that we could have